Lately, I've been enjoying wrecks, actually. I love do cave diving as well and stuff, but I really like seeing wrecks. I want to go a little bit further and deeper so I can do more of them in the future.
Off-gassing, a scuba podcast with host Nick Hogle. Falling in love with the sport from the moment she took her first breath underwater in Turkey while on vacation, Caroline Mussey started progressing through the sport. In January of this year, I sat down with her as she was at home in Belgium to hear more about her journey through the sport. Cold water diving, technical diving, cave diving, rebreathers, international travel, and much more. Please enjoy. Caroline, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, everything is going great. Was just doing my job at the moment, so having a break right now to talk to you. Okay.
Well, I absolutely appreciate that, and I appreciate you coming onto the podcast. I'm excited to hear about your journey, your story. So, where you're currently in Belgium?
Yeah.
What's the weather like over there?
Well, at the moment, it's doing great, but it has been terrible the last couple of months. We had rain every day. We had snow. Right now, it's cloudy, but it's dry. So we are happy. Yeah. The weather in Belgium, it's not great at all.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, the weather here was hot today. I was just kind of telling you beforehand, I was out on the island today, and there's the Hindu festival Thai Pusam. Yeah. And it was a very colorful festival, lots of color, and just it's a crazy festival. I'd never been to it before, so that was quite exciting. But my first question I would like to ask you is, tell me how and why you got into scuba diving. Tell me about that first breath underwater. Was it love after first breath, or was it, I absolutely hate this, I'm never doing it again? I know it's usually different for everybody, so I always like to hear their story.
Yeah. Well, I always loved being in and around water, swimming. I loved it all the time from when I was little. But I guess the first steps we did was when we went to our first holiday to Egypt with the kids. We took a trip on a sailboat, and that's when Kurt started his first intro to the first dive. And I was like, are you crazy? I'm not going diving. I would like to snorkel. So snorkeling was fun. It was already, it's awesome. It's like an aquarium. And he was doing his first try dive. And yeah, he was like, I love it. I have to do this more. And I was like, don't understand why. And then we did the year after, we went to Turkey. And then I said, let's give it a try. I want to do a try dive in Turkey. And I was sold immediately as well, because I said, now I understand why. And I went to the same club as Kurt did just a year after. And that's how we just got started on holiday. It was the first experience with diving. So, of course, the conditions were better than in Belgium as well, because visibility and stuff is not really so great here. But I think it's the best experience. And when you start diving like that. So, I really loved it from the first time.
Okay. So before you actually did the try dive, what were you just nervous about it? Or was it like, just, I don't want to do this? Like,
No. I really wanted to do it, because Kurt was doing, I think he was doing his first wreck dive or something. So I wasn't with him. I was with two girls from Iran, I think. And I was really excited, but of course I was nervous. Yeah, because you have to breathe underwater. So it's crazy in the beginning. But it was very relaxing. And it was a great experience because I heard stories from other people, and then they just drag you down and just take your arm and just follow around. But it was really excited. It was really calm. Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So from there, you did the tri-dive. When did, was it the same time that you signed up for an open water certification, or was there some time in between that?
I think it was maybe like a couple of months in between. And then I started to take the lessons. But in the beginning, we start in a swimming pool here. And then it depends. In winter, I think they stop diving, and then they start like, is it March or April maybe? And then they go outside for the first time. So oh. Then you have to take the guide with you and the body line with you and stuff like that. So I think there was a couple of months in between when I did my first dive here in Belgium.
How was the transition from the warm water to, I'm assuming it was probably pretty cold water. How did you handle that transition?
That went pretty well, I think, because in the beginning when you start diving, I think you have a lot of adrenaline in the beginning and you don't think about it because there are a lot of other things you have to consider and think about, and you just follow your guide and hanging on the body line. And just enjoying everything that you see, and you're not really thinking about anything else. So yeah, the first dives are always pretty excited. So don't bother me. If I see people now in winter, we're diving with dry suits, of course, all year round. They're doing with a wetsuit now. It's like -2 degrees, and they just jump in, and we're like, that's crazy. How did we do it in the beginning? But everyone is like that in the beginning, so you don't even feel the cold. You don't think about the cold, I think. So it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I definitely have not really done cold water diving. So I've done what I like to tell people is Texas cold. And even so I'm horrible with the Fahrenheit Celsius conversion, but the coldest I've ever done was 48. So 48 degrees Fahrenheit, we just looked this up, is 8 degrees Celsius. And I was definitely in a dry suit. I could not, as soon as I got into a dry suit in colder water, I was like, I'll never do a wetsuit again.
We have the same. Even when we're going to Egypt, we just went to Egypt for a couple of days. And we did one dive. It was 24 degrees. I don't know what it's in Fahrenheit, 24 degrees. And after 30 minutes, I got cold. Yeah, the wetsuit is nothing for me anymore. We need a dry suit here. Especially in Europe and stuff, it's like 6 degrees, the water temperature sometimes. You just need it because otherwise you can't do the dives you want to do. So
after you did your open water, talk about your progression from there. Like what classes, what type of diving you did?
Just normal small dives. I even stopped a couple of years, and I think I picked it up, and my first thing I did was trying the side mount diving.
Oh, okay. So
before I was only one tank on the back, just like that. And then stopped a couple of years, started again. And then Kurt teached me, he said, you need 2 bottles if you want to dive. If you want to do proper dives, you need to go with 2 bottles. So it was on the back double set or just side mount. And I think it's really heavy if you take the 80 cuff feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Heavy.
So that's why I said, okay, I'm going to do side mount diving. And I started doing that, did it quite some time. And then the following step was I did my advanced Nitrox. Yeah, the next step was on the unit, on the CCR, just people and friends of us were all going on CCR, and yeah, it's a bit of a pressure. It's not that you need to do it, but it pushes you a little bit to go further into the technical stuff. And I decided, I want to do the CCR now. So, yeah.
Okay. So I'm just curious, why did you take a couple of years off?
Yeah, it was just the situation at home. It was just a private situation at home why I stopped. So okay. It had nothing to do with the diving itself or something. So, and I think it was like 3-4 years or something. And then I just picked it up and did everything the way Kurt told me to do. Just as a vision, he's an instructor. So he said, do it the right way. Just take 2 tanks and stuff. And that's when I started doing it the proper way and getting more and more into deeper dives and stuff like that. So longer dives and stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
And I think it was in 2019, I started doing my cave course with another friend and a student from Kurt as well. And I guess that was the beginning of everything into technical diving. I just followed Kurt around when he was cave diving. I always went to France with him, just sit on the side waiting for him. Until I saw a lady as well in France, and I saw quite some ladies doing the cave diving. And I said, what the hell am I doing on the side? Just looking. I need to do it. That was for me a sign. Just start with it. And then Kurt was like, oh, hell, now she's following me everywhere.
So that's funny about the side mount, because when I started, I think it was like 3 years ago, I started side mount diving. And right around at the same time, I wasn't sure if I was going to do back mount doubles or side mount. And in Texas, where we would go dive a lot, we have a lot of stairs going up and down into the lake. So I did it a couple times in back mount doubles, and then I started doing side mount, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to do any more tanks on my back. No. And oddly enough, I've actually gotten back into it. I took a fundamentals course in October of last year, and obviously it's you know, single tank or back, pretty much all on your back. But I enjoyed it, I guess, but the walk wasn't as long to the water, so it wasn't bad. So I feel you on the side mount. It was definitely, it's just a lot. I mean, it's a little bit more tedious. There's a little bit more to it, but I definitely feel that it's, I don't want to say easier. That's the wrong word, but it's better.
It's better, yeah. But I guess both have their advantages on the back as well. As long as you don't have back problems and you have no problem with the weight and stuff, then I think it's a double set is great as well. Yeah, but I think it depends on the dives we do, of course. But yeah, sometimes the entrance is quite difficult or long and stuff. And yeah, then I'm quite happy I got my side mount. But both have their advantages as well, because I think, yeah, the configuration and stuff, it's more work with side mount than with a double set, because you're always adjusting stuff on your bottles, on your wing and stuff. And so that's like more difficult than a double set, I think.
Oh, no, so, definitely. Yeah. So did you get into a rebreather first or into caves?
First caves. Okay. Yeah, and I think that was maybe the turnaround for me to say to start on a unit, because it gives you more time. Your deco is less than in open circuit and stuff, and all our friends are going cave diving, and you're the limited factor because you're always the one in the open circuit. You go in together, you come out together. But they have to come out because I had to turn around with my open circuit. So, and also with the deco, it's it's much less on a unit as well. So there were two big advantages for me to say I'm going to start on a CCR now. So it's crazy because we went diving like, I think, 3 weeks ago in a system, and it was something not right with the CCR. So I had to do the dive in open circuit inside mount again. It was so weird for me. I was like, I'm not feeling very safe here. I just want my CCR with me. It's crazy.
Which unit are you diving?
Well, I'm diving the Revo, but at the moment I'm actually diving the side mount Liberty.
Okay.
The most. Yeah, I did my crossover because I went to Malta to the DiveSoft Summit. Of course, they said, yeah, you need to dive on a CCR of a DiveSoft Liberty, of course. So that's why I did my crossover. So I'm now doing all the dives with the side mount Liberty at the moment, which I really enjoy also. So
So the Revo was your first unit, and then you went into the side mount Liberty. Oddly enough, I did three try dives on three different units in December. One was a Revo, one was the Choptima, the chest mount Choptima, and then one was the side mount or the Liberty side mount. So I did the Revo first and I enjoyed it. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot on your back, but when you're in the water, it's really nice. I'll be honest. I think I need just a little bit more time, but the, I found the chest mount one just to be a little bit like it was just, I don't know. It was just a little too much for me. I didn't really enjoy it as much as the back mount. And then the side mount Liberty, I really enjoyed just because it's like side mount diving. Question on that one, because this was just a try dive. Obviously, it was a very short amount of time. But I noticed when I would be diving, every time I would breathe in and out, I would kind of pivot a little bit every time I would breathe in and out. Is that like a normal thing, or is that just because I didn't have it configured the right way?
Yeah, I think the second one. And you had like the bailout on the other side, right?
Yeah. So I had my bailout. It was on my right side, the rebreather.
The rebreather.
Yeah. And then on my left was the bailout. But I was just using the rebreather, and then every time I would like breathe in the bag, I would just kind of feel it lift a little bit. Like, so is that just like, obviously that's not normal.
No, I don't have it. So, no, that's, maybe it's a configuration or something that's not really tight enough, maybe close to you. No, because your trim and buoyancy is even better than with a back mount rebreather, I think. Also, because if you're just like really flat, then the breathing is way better, of course. But that's, you do it automatically with the Liberty because it's just hanging side you. If you do it with a back mount, you're more like this.
Yeah.
But if you do it like this with a side mount, then the breathing is not so, it's more difficult. It becomes more difficult. So you always flat with the Liberty. So, I think it has something to do maybe with the tank or something that wasn't right, because I don't have it. No.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, I knew because I mean, it was a really quick try dive. So it definitely, I knew it wasn't right, but I would love more time on one just to kind of get it dialed in. I mean, cause you know, my open circuit side mount, it took me forever to get that dialed. I mean, I'm still working on that. It's always a work in progress.
I think everyone does it with the open circuit side mount. You always keep adjusting stuff. I think it never will be awesome. I think it never will be on point and perfectly. So I think it's normal with the side mount in open circuit. So that's quite okay. And did you had like a favorite one from the three that you tried?
Honestly, so I had the most amount of time on the Revo. So I liked that one because I was far from dialing it in, but it was just simple, throw it on my back. Everything was just super easy. I'll be honest, the chest mount Choptima, I wasn't really a fan, but I need more time on it. It was a very short amount of time, so I'm not trying to say anything bad about it. It was just, out of the three that I tried, that one was my least favorite. And then the side mount Liberty, I wanted more time on it, but just the time that I was there and the time that I had allotted for the not training, but the tri dives I was doing, I just didn't have enough time on it. But I definitely left being like, I want more time on this unit because I would like to try to get it a little bit more dialed in. And because it is just a really sleek unit. It's super nice. It pretty much configures exactly like a side mount tank. Yeah, so I really, really enjoyed it. So did you get rid of the Revo, or are you still slowly?
I actually don't want to get rid of a back mount unit, but my plan is to, I want to do the back mount from Liberty as well. I want to try him out. If it's great for me, then I probably going to do the switch and sell my Revo and buy me the back mount from the Dives of Liberty. So that way I have units from the same company, which I think has more advantages when you need something or stuff or something. So just one brand, that's the plan. But I just want to try the back mount first as well, because I really love my Revo as well. I have the Micro, so it's the smallest one, which is pretty compact, especially for women. It's really nice. That's why I just want to try the Liberty back mount first. If it's like way too heavy or something, then I don't think I would switch, but I need to try it first. So, but I think, and I want to try and do my Normoxix as well. And I think I want to do that with a back mount. It's just, in my head, it's more comfortable with my tanks and stages and stuff. So I my plan is to try the back mount. If I like it, I will switch my Revo, but then I will do the course of Normoxit with the back mount. That's what I think. So,
Okay. Cool. Well, tell me a little bit about your journey into the cave, the overhead environment. So you started just kind of hanging out around the caves and then eventually started going in. How did you find the training? I guess tell me about the first time you went into a cave. I always like to hear about that.
Yeah. So we were in France in the Lot, which is the Valhalla for cave diving in France. And I think Kurt did a dive with two of his buddies, and I think it was a dive like almost 4 hours. And I said to him, I think we just went there for... He did only a big dive in the cave. We went there like 2 days maybe and then got back home. But he wanted to do that dive. And he was like, I think it was almost 4 hours. And I said, I want to try it as well. So, and he said, yeah, but I'm exhausted. And his friends were like, come on, she wants to try it. Just go in with her. And it was crazy. It was, I think, with a wetsuit, with one tank on my back. But yeah, it's just an introduction, so you can't go far in the system. It's just to have the feeling of the overhead environment. And I was like, oh, this is nice. I want to do this. And he was like, oh, shit, again. she's stalking me. I can't get rid of her. So, that was my first experience. It was in the Rossel in the Lot in France. So it's just a really nice, awesome cave to do. So, of course, you got sold right away. Yeah? If you go in, it's beautiful. So,
is it, I'm assuming, pretty cold water as well?
I think it's like 12 degrees all year round.
Oh, okay.
For us. Yeah, it's nice. And again, it was my first cave dive. So I was in a wetsuit. I was all excited. So didn't mind the temperature of the water. So I was like, oh, awesome. I did it. Yeah.
So my first time in the overhead was down in Mexico. So it was, the water is definitely a little bit colder than your normal, you know, ocean diving or what I was used to. Not very cold, but same. I was in a wetsuit, but it's, you know, Mexico. So it was just, I was mind blown. As soon as we went in there, I was like, I can definitely see the appeal. So tell me about your cave training. How did you find all that? Was it difficult to get through? Did you find it pretty easy? Were there challenging moments?
I wouldn't say it's easy, no, because there are a lot of things you have to consider. You don't dive alone, you dive with your buddies. So you have to follow and do all the skills as well. It was with a friend instructor from Kurt. We went to France. I think we were with 4 students. Conditions were terrible. We had rain all the time. Oh, it was terrible. So there weren't a lot of systems we could go in. So we were very limited at the time. That was the hard part, just to find the systems you can go in. And yeah, I really loved the course. I found it hard. Well, let's just say it was a tough week because of, there's a lot you have to put in your head. You have to do all the skills, especially with the body as well. You have to do everything right. I think it was an okay course. I really loved the course. But it was, mentally. I think it's mentally even more difficult than physically. Because, it takes a lot of things you put in your mind and stuff. But it went quite well. I did it from the first time. I succeeded. I was very proud of myself, of course. But it was quite okay. Yeah. Just go with it. And if you listen and you do all that they tell you to do, then everything goes really well. So the difficult one, was when you have a lost line. That's the difficult one, I think. But that's the one the instructors like the most. And they really enjoy doing it and see their students looking for the line and stuff, which I liked seeing from the other students as well. Good lesson, but that was the difficult one. It was really nice. Yeah.
So I'm actually starting my cave journey. I'm headed to Mexico later this year to do my cavern intro to cave, and then we'll see where it goes from there. If everything goes well, into cave, full cave. And I've done some overhead. I've done some advanced rec training. So obviously there's some similarities, but obviously some differences too. But I think one thing that leaving the rec class, I need to work on line laying a little bit more. Just the correct way to put the tie-offs in and like keep it in like a flowing motion, you know, just tie-off, move, tie-off, move.
That's something you exercise very much and every day in the course as well. Because, that's one of the main things you need to do in the intro course and stuff. So, but you do it every day and very regularly, always have to do that again, the tie-offs and stuff. And so that's maybe also one of the difficult things in the beginning, laying line and stuff and something. But you get better, of course, at the end of the course. It goes quite well, of course. But now you don't need to do it as much anymore in between, like me now, because there's line everywhere. Yeah, you stop doing that. So sometimes it's good that you practice it again, because I'm hoping to do my full cave later this year. But then on the CCR, I think it's all I had to come back, because it's new, because I don't train it as much as in the beginning, of course. So you stop doing it. So unless you go exploring caves or mines like Kurt does, but I don't do that. If it's new, I just look and I help them, but I don't go in.
I definitely am really looking forward to it, but I have heard that as well, as unless you start doing a lot of exploring, usually there's lines there, so you might be doing a jump or something like that. So, but yeah, it's something that I definitely am looking for. And it's kind of hard too, because the instructor that I'm working with, she actually sent me like a quick video because I was asked, because there's a couple videos out there, because I was like, oh, maybe I can start practicing before I make it to the class. But the problem is I don't want to practice the wrong thing and then have the muscle memory of doing the wrong thing. Now I have to break that. So it's like,
you have to do it with the instructor just next to you, and then they can say immediately from, no, that's not good. Like you said, otherwise you are going to learn it the wrong way. So it's great that you can see and pick up some stuff from YouTube and stuff, but you have to do it in real life yourself with your instructor next to you. So
I always find it's like the land drills. Sometimes I'll have it on land. I'm like, okay, I got it. And then I get in the water and it's just completely different.
It even starts with finding like a rock or something to put your line on, because you have systems in France where you need to just take the tie off and stuff, or do your lost line. But the difficult part is just find a rock to put your line on. There's no rocks. Where do you begin? So it's crazy sometimes.
I'm looking forward to it. So it's a few more months. So right now I just doing some reading, just trying to practice. I think the biggest thing too is there's I have most of them down, but I've just like historically been horrible on tests, you know. So like I'll be good at studying, but when it comes down to the actual like test, like the moment of, I'm just like I am just an overthinker. I don't really know what it is, but there's just a lot. Obviously there's a lot of hand signals that need to be memorized before going in, and I feel like I'll have them all memorized, but when I'm in the water, it's just like sometimes I'll draw blanks, you know. So I'm like just ready to get my notes out.
So. Maybe you're going to invent some new signals or something. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a fun one, but I'm having my girlfriend help me, and she'll just hold up a signal and I can just be like, okay, it's that, it's this, and then just go back and forth. It's really, it's a form of sign language. It really is.
That's true, Which is an advantage as well if you dive with CCR, because you really can talk to each other.
I've heard.
We're always, if I'm diving with Kurt, we are always having like arguing underwater or discussions, and people just hear us talk to each other all the time. It's funny.
You're gonna
love it, and you're in Mexico, so I think if you're there and you don't like it, you wouldn't like it anywhere, because I think Mexico is just the most awesome place to do a course like that, I think.
I've actually heard from a few different people that a lot of people will say it just doesn't get better than Mexico. But there's a lot of stuff, because my biggest goal is to learn in Mexico. I found a shop out there that actually did my side mount course with them, and they're kind of like my foundation of side mount. And I always said, as soon as I go into overhead, I want to come back to the shop, Under the Jungle, shout out. But my goal is to eventually make it back out to this part of the world, because I know that there's a lot of exploration going on in Indonesia. And I don't think I'll be a part of that exploration, or maybe, who knows, someday. But I definitely think that, you know, over the next few years, there will be a lot more systems found, a lot more things opening up. So I think it'll be kind of nice. And it's a little bit more off the beaten path. It's not as easy to get to as Mexico. Well, I mean, Mexico for me is still kind of difficult, but when I was living in the United States, it was pretty quick. And that's kind of the goal, is to make it back out here and start. I like the warm water.
Yeah, I hear you. I know what you mean. It's the same for us. Yeah, and it gets harder every year, the cold water and the winters and stuff. We're talking about going and live abroad and stuff more and more every year, because just it's so nice to have warm water around you. And I understand. If we could, we would dive as well, like in Asia or something, because we really like it over there. Also, visibility and stuff it's always nice. You see stuff like that. And like you said, they are exploring more and more in Indonesia. So it's if you want to do cave diving, you can do it everywhere. So you don't need to stay in Europe or only doing Mexico, because you can do it everywhere. The world is a big place, and you get more and more opportunities along the way. You get to meet a lot of people from around the world. They invite you. You have to make choices every year, because what are we going to do? This, and yeah, you need the holidays. You need the money. It's getting more difficult. So, yeah.
My bank account doesn't like to keep up with all my travel.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So you're saying live abroad. Any destinations in particular, or just somewhere where it's warm?
I think, yeah, I really love Asia. We went to Bali a couple of times. We really liked it. But I went to Thailand as well. Kurt hasn't, so I really want to show him Thailand as well. I haven't been to the Philippines. Maybe that's great as well, but it's like that area. Yeah, I really love Asia. I really love them. People are really nice. The food is great. Yeah, but it's something I guess we need to test in advance, because we haven't actually lived there. If you stay there like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's just a holiday, of course. It's something different if you live there. And we have 2 kids, so we have to wait till they're a bit older. So...
I have been trying to move abroad for quite a while before we actually moved out here, and then met my girlfriend. We've been together like almost 6 years, man, time flies. And she was just like, let's do it. And we had this wonderful opportunity, and we were able to move here. And she had only been to this part of the world, not even Malaysia, but just she'd been to Indonesia when I was doing a dive master internship over there, getting my dive master. She came out and visited me, and she fell in love with it. And then the job opportunity came up, and we were like, let's do it. And it's definitely, you know, the there's like phases that they'll tell you, you know, there's like the honeymoon phase where it might last for a few months, or, you know, even like 6 months, where everything is just amazing. And then like the homesick phase comes in, where you just want to be back to your, you know, not normal things, but I guess just what's regular to you.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get to where you're settled. And then there's like another phase when you go back home, and then you get like homesick for Asia again.
Yeah.
And I'm actually about to fly to the States in February next month. And it's the first time I've been gone. It'll be like 18 months or something like that. I've been gone. So almost 2 years. Yeah. And so I'm quite curious, to be honest. It's so funny, 'cause I do love the food out here. I've loved just, you know, Thai food, Indonesian food, and Malaysia has amazing food, because there's so many different cultures here. So there's all these different blends. It's just absolutely amazing. But I'm not going to lie, there are certain things that I am missing from back home. I miss some good Texas barbecue. I miss, you know, some bourbon on ice, you know. Just
like, I think it's normal. I think it's always the food that you miss the most when you start living somewhere else. Yeah. Because I even have it after 1 month somewhere. Then I think, oh, I want Belgian fries or stuff or something. So, but if it's just that, yeah, that's not really the issue to not live somewhere else, of course. I think in the beginning it will be difficult, because we are having children now. And if I need to leave them, I don't know if I'm able to do it. I've never done it. Yeah, I'm going away with them. It's like 3-4 weeks without them, but I never lived without them. They don't want to follow us. They said, oh, I'm going with you guys. So just staying here. But yeah, I think the weather and stuff, it's a big change for you. If you can live in the sun every day, and but maybe it's because I live in Europe, and yeah, we're always having bad weather. That's just maybe why we want to be in a sunny place, something. Because there are people who love to live in the snow and have cold every day, but I don't know, it's different maybe for them. We don't like snow. We just want to go and put on our flippers every day. Just, I think Asia is, it's awesome. Also the food, also the people and stuff. And they're so friendly over there. Nature. Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome that you live there. So,
thank you. I do really, really enjoy it. And yeah, I'm Malaysia. So I actually hadn't done much traveling in Malaysia, but since I've gotten here, before I moved here, I'd only been here a couple of times. And yeah, this place is just captured my heart. I absolutely love it. The people, the food, amazing diving, and we're close to some more amazing diving. Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia.
Places enough.
Yeah. So what is your favorite type of diving? So would you rather be in like deep in the ocean or in a cave? Where what is your go-to if you could go do any type of diving?
Lately, I've been enjoying wrecks, actually. I love do cave diving as well and stuff, but I really like seeing wrecks. I want to go a little bit further and deeper so I can do more of them in the future. Yeah, and of course, I like big animals.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I would love to see like whales or something, maybe some sharks as well. But I think at the moment it will be wreck diving for me. I enjoy it most. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about some of the wreck diving that you've done. Did you have like a recent trip or anything?
Yeah, the most recent one was now that we did in Malta. But yeah, we see some great stuff on social media. We really want to go to Norway, which is pretty cold as well. If you see the wrecks in Narvik, it's awesome. It's great. Also, we want to do like the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan and stuff. They're awesome, the wrecks you can find there. And yeah, like Curtis is doing his photography on the water. It would be amazing if we can do stuff like that. So that's why I want to do the Normoxy course so I can go deeper with him. And then we can do more wreck dives. Yeah, that's a bit of a plan to do in the future for me. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, if you when you eventually do make it out to the Philippines, there's definitely some really nice areas out there. I mean, you know, there's nice wrecks all over the place. Where I did my advanced wreck training was in Subic Bay in the Philippines. And the visibility wasn't really great. It's funny, the first time I went diving there, I'm like, I feel like I'm in a lake in Texas. But there's some awesome wrecks there. There's some really, really good wrecks. And then there's a few other places that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. But Philippines has some really good wrecks. There's a couple wrecks on the east coast of Peninsular Malaysia that I haven't been to. Hopefully I'll be able to make it there next year or this year, I should say. I feel like it's still 2023. But yeah, I definitely enjoy seeing more wrecks. Do you think that you'll get into the penetration side of it or just staying on the outside of it?
I think both. Of course, if a wreck is new for you, then you enjoy the first dive around the wreck. And I think once you have done like a couple of dives on one, that you can enter the wreck as well if you're allowed to do it. And then I would definitely try and do it as well. Yeah.
I do enjoy it. They scare me a little bit more than like a cave environment because I feel like the cave's been here for how many thousands of years, and then the wreck, it's like, how long?
Yeah. I guess maybe people go and check them out. No, before they let them go in. I guess if people see like they're not really safe anymore, I think they would stop the people from going in. That's what I think, of course.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I definitely, some of the places that you've mentioned, the Great Lakes, definitely would like to go there. The Baltic Sea, I think, would be amazing. And then obviously there's like, you know, the go-tos like Truck Lagoon and a couple other places. But you know, it'll like I said, I gotta argue with my bank account before it'll let me go to all these places.
Yeah, and we are two divers here, so we have to agree on the stuff that we do, because it costs a lot. So we have to see which one do you want to do, which one do I want to do, and then just find a solution in the middle. Kurt has his future plans, of course, which are different than mine, I guess. So we have to follow. Maybe then this year his thing, next year my thing, just find something in the middle. Yeah, it's sometimes it's difficult because you want to do that, you want to do that. So
I can completely understand, because my girlfriend, she just became certified last year, and now it's like there's all these different like, oh, we should go here, we should go there, and yeah, we have to find somewhere to meet in the middle. So yeah. I'm actually curious. So with two divers in there, do you just have like a whole unit of your house that's just stuffed with dive gear?
it's called a garage. You can't see it's a garage. It has never been a garage. We almost have a shop. We have all in double or even more. It's crazy. Even the garage is too small now. Kurt has his buffer and stuff, so he fills his own tanks and gases and stuff as well. So it's crazy. And the kids, they really don't like it anymore because they only hear us talking about diving. So it's so boring. And he just, oh my God, stop talking about diving. And you would think they are interested as well. Maybe the daughter is getting more interested because she went diving in Egypt last year and she liked it. And she said, yeah, I want to do it more. But like the son, oh, he really hates it. And they think it's so boring. And we have like pictures in the house that Kurt took from me in caves and in mines and stuff. And all their friends coming in and they're like, oh, that's so cool. And your parents doing cool stuff. And they're like, it's crazy.
So he hasn't been diving at all. He won't go diving. Nope. Does not.
No, he really doesn't like it. And then if we go on a boat, maybe he will jump in the water like 5 minutes, and then he goes up and he's like, okay, I'm done. It's crazy.
So speaking of future plans, what's the next dive destination? What's the next dive plan?
The next dive plan, I think, will be maybe going to Egypt. And otherwise, it will be France, because I'm going to try and do the full cave course on the CCR unit in France. I think we're going to April with the kids to New York, which is woohoo, something different. But we have to do some things with them as well. So we said we're going to do something very different and we go to New York. But I guess Kurt is doing a lot of courses this year, but I can't join him with every course because then I don't have any holidays left. He's going to Egypt, he's going to France and stuff like that. And then we're going to Sweden as well and go mine diving with, I think, 10 or 12 friends with us to the big mine, Tuna Hastberg. That's also on the planning. And then further, not really planned anything yet. We will see. Yeah. So it's definitely okay. Sweden and France, maybe Egypt. But then I think the next year it will be more a bigger trip, like maybe doing North America, Great Lakes, maybe Canada or something. Mexico, we also want to do Mexico. So, yeah, we will see.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
There's too many places in the world to see. Do you think you'll try the Liberty back mount this year, or is that later in the future?
Oh, okay. I hope to do it very soon. actually, yeah, because I think Kurt also maybe wants to see for a new unit, but I'm going to try and do it maybe like in 1 month, try it and see what it gives for me. And then, yeah, I make a choice to switch or not. So it's in the near future for me. Yeah, definitely.
I've heard wonderful things about that unit. A lot of people have a lot of nice things to say about it. So I'm curious to see if you'll end up making the switch or not. Yeah, because the Revo and the Liberty were ones that I was looking at just because it's one of those things. It's the whatever I had just has to be travel friendly. And I know the Revo, it's kind of borderline, but you can still travel with it. And then I know the Liberty side mount is pretty travel friendly. And then they make a Liberty light too. Is that correct? Yeah. For the back mount, which is supposed to be really travel friendly.
That would be the one that I want to try.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because
okay.
They are making changes at the unit, like the stand and stuff there. Now it's not really stable if you put it down, the lights. So they're making big changes now. I think it's somewhere in the near future that they finish it. And that would be the unit that I really want to try. So and maybe switch to, in the future.
Awesome. Well, I really, really want to thank you for coming onto the podcast. I have one final question for you. And this is kind of a question, you know, usually you kind of answered it throughout, but we'll just sum it all up in the end. So any advice for somebody that is about to go into the overhead environment training, particularly advice for me, because I'm about to go into the overhead environment. So what is the best piece of advice that you could give to somebody that is about to start their overhead training?
Take your time and do everything just feeling still comfortable. Don't do anything just because anybody else is doing it, or don't feel pressure about something. Just take your time to do stuff. If something's wrong, or you just say, this is out of my comfort zone, just tell and stop and just go back out. Just take your time. That's it. And don't feel pressure about something, and don't do something that you don't like. Just, you have to do it in your comfort zone. Yeah, that's the big advice I can give you.
That is amazing advice. Once again, thank you very, very much for coming onto the podcast. I really appreciate it. Hopefully you had a good time.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was really nice seeing you. Maybe hopefully we can meet each other in the future somewhere in Asia.
Off-gassing, a scuba podcast.